everyone. So today's podcast is based around getting you to produce more power on stage and then maintain that power to the end of the dance. I have just come back from the American Nationals, and one of the biggest things I saw and was asked many questions on was dancers fatiguing too early on stage and not being able to sustain a strong effort to the end of a dance. Now, timing and learning dance steps are all major skills to becoming a champion dancer. But when these skills are perfected, you must then learn how to execute them with sufficient power. Listen up as we go through the most important steps of developing your power as a competitive Aries dancer.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Ask Reaching Heights Show episode 9. And in today's show, we're going to talk about how to get you to produce more power on stage.
My name is Lauren Early, and I am a former six-time World Aries Dance Champion who is now devoted to helping every dancer achieve big dreams of their own. On each episode, we will bring you the best questions to help you discover and unlock your full potential so that you can benefit in every possible way. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. So a big well done to anybody that came back from American Nationals and was very happy with your performance. If you improved and you done very, very well, then well done. If you were a dancer who was not so happy with your performance, now is the time for you to analyze exactly what went wrong. And so maybe nothing went wrong, but maybe people are just moving ahead, right? Because sometimes not everything has to go wrong. You might not necessarily feel you had a bad performance. It might just be that everybody else is moving on. So now is the important time for you guys then to sit down and work out where went wrong or what you could have done better. Was your preparation good coming into the competition, or what is everybody else doing that you can't? And then we work out a plan and we develop that, okay? We put a post out on Facebook the other night around hill sprints, and really it was to talk about the importance of hill sprints. And one of the things that Lauren fed back to me when coming back from the Nationals was that the lack of a lot of power coming through dancers, and a lot of the feedback that she was getting from the parents or from dancers who were coming up and asking questions was really about that they were feeling sloppy on stage, they weren't producing an awful lot of power. And obviously looking at the champion dancers there who will be producing a tremendous amount of power from start to finish, it is one of those key signs in that your performance is lacking in something that they don't have. And when we break it down and analyze it, like we've said a lot of times before, it's never really the dance technique that is the issue. It's always going to be something else, such as the power or the speed or the sharpness, right? So, you know, at that level, when you're looking at those top 15, 20 on stage, it's not really technique that's separating anybody. It's generally something to do with an aspect of strength, fitness, or speed. And today we're going to look at the power aspect of that. So as I said, we put on a hill sprint post on Facebook the other day, which was really designed to just try and explain to you guys a little bit about more about power production and development, and not necessarily just always about getting fit, okay? After the back of that post, we've had a lot of questions coming through with people kind of wanting to know more about it, which is fantastic. And also it kind of made people realize that there's a lot of more different aspects to training that can actually help assist their dance performance without actually having to dance or increase the amount of impact that they're going through. So one question we had through in particular was from a dancer called Claire. And Claire asks, I saw your post on hill sprints and you mentioned power. Now, I was wondering if you could tell me more. I don't feel like I have much power in my movements, and I'm always being told to jump higher or faster. Do you have any advice? Okay, Claire, so let's firstly break it down and analyze exactly what is being asked of you on stage, because one of the most important things as a dancer and one of the big things that we talk about in the academy is you just need to be the best dancer over 60 to 120 second period. You don't need to be the best show dancer. You don't need to be the best festival dancer. You don't need to be the best dancer that lasts for hours and hours and hours. Basically, your competition requirements are an Aries dancer is required to produce an all-out maximal exertion for a time period of around 60 to 90 seconds and sometimes upwards to 2 minutes for the longer dance. But in reality, that is what is being asked of you, okay? You must be able to learn to produce an all-out exertion, maximal exertion of power and effort for 60 to 120 seconds. Now, if that's what's being asked of you, how much of your training reflects that? So how many times or how many training sessions are you actually doing that force you to produce an all-out maximal exertion of that time period followed by a long recovery, okay? And this is really what I want to get into today, is that we sometimes can get far away from what your competition requirements are actually asking you for, but then we end up with a huge bunch of fit dancers, but it's just not really relevant or specific to the sport. So let's firstly look at what power actually is. Now, during that time period, so your maximal exertion of 60 to 90 seconds, there's two things that are going to happen. Now, you're being asked to produce power, but you're also being asked to maintain power, okay? So you must be able to produce power. You're going from a completely static standing position, and you must go from 0 to 100 in as quick as time possible. Now, when you get up to full speed, you then must be able to maintain that power and speed towards the end of your dance. So the two things, A, as a dancer, you must be able to produce a lot of power, and B, you must be able to have the endurance capacity of the fast twitch muscle fibers to be able to maintain that power to the end, okay? Now, there's a third category there, and there's two types of dancers. You'll see a dancer who will be powerful and sharp. They just can't sustain that. You'll see a dancer who won't be able to produce any power sharpness at all, but they could dance all day. And then you'll see a real champion dancer who is able to produce power, but not only can they produce it, they can also sustain that power to the end. So it's not actually about lasting to the end of a dance. Anybody can last to the end of a dance if they go slow enough. If you produce little power and you go slow enough, you could last all day. That's not the goal here. The goal here is to get you to last 60 to 90 or 120 seconds with maximal power, okay? So one of the biggest issues we see with dancers is that they fatigue too early. So if you're one of these aerobic-based dancers who are very nice and pretty and their technique's really, really good, so your technique's on point, but you just don't really have any power or acceleration, then this is going to be an issue for you because you're just not producing any power to start with. But if you're someone that can produce power, we generally see these dancers fatiguing and hitting a brick wall around 30, 40, or 50 seconds into the dance because their body just can't sustain that effort for an ongoing period of time, okay? Now, let me explain a really good way of thinking about this. If you look at someone like a power lifter or an Olympic weightlifter, they're the most powerful athletes in the world, but they only have to do one repetition, one lift, and then they'll stand still for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes. So they can afford to produce a tremendous amount of power, and then they get a rest. Now, as a dancer, you must produce power, but then you must continue to produce it. So there's never really a chance where you can just slip into autopilot and continue going. But unfortunately, that's what we see happening when dancers drop off. They peak too early and they can no longer sustain the effort, and so they drop off. Now, going back to the weightlifter analogy, so if I was to get you to do a vertical jump, so I want to test your power and I go, okay, stand and do a vertical jump and see how high you can touch up the wall. Or stand in on a long jump pit and see how far you can jump off 2 feet. This shows me how much power you can produce from a standing static position. So we would then measure that height or that distance and we go, okay, there's how much power you can produce. So you can be able to tell if you're powerful or not compared to other people. And then after a certain period of rest, we're going to get you to do it again. And then you're going to do it again. Now, how many attempts do you think you would need? If you're generally the first attempt is the highest, okay? Because the nervous system activation, possibly the second. But when you go to jump 3, jump 4, jump 5, those jumps drop off massively. So that shows me that your ability to continually produce power is lacking because you peaked on the first jump and then the second, third, fourth, and fifth, you dropped off. So this is the issue we have, is that a dancer, you're being asked to produce power in high jumps every few seconds. So you might be able to do maximally 1 or 2 or 3 really good powerful jumps, but if you're not training those muscle fibers to continually produce power, you're not going to be able to do it. And so these movements become slow and robotic, and that's generally the issue. Now, we'll keep muscle fibers for another podcast, but what you got to understand about muscle fibers is that when you train a muscle, the biggest misconception about training muscles and getting strong and fit and all of these things is that you think you're training a muscle group, and that means you think the entire muscle is being trained. But unfortunately, that's not true. What's happening is a muscle is made up of different type of fibers, and to keep it simple for you, we're going to break it down into fast twitch and slow twitch, okay? Now, if you're doing things that are rather slow and aerobic based, you're going to be tapping into those slow twitch muscle fibers because you're not really asking yourself of any power or speed. And bear in mind, aerobic training doesn't have any power or speed involved in it. It's just continuous low intensity work. So the issue we have is that dancers are required to produce power on an ongoing basis. Now, to produce power, you must be able to use your fast twitch muscle fibers. Now, to continue to produce power, you must be able to get your fast twitch muscle fibers to continually produce power. One of the biggest issues we see with dancers is that their training and practice goes on for a very long period of time. Okay, so they'll be doing lots and lots of home practice, they'll be doing lots and lots of class practice, and they'll be doing tremendous amount of practice, but they're not really diluting it with any power or speed work. Now, the issue you have here is that think about the muscle fibers that are being trained. If you're dancing for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours in the house at home, how much of that practice do you think is aerobic versus anaerobic? How much of that practice do you think you're hitting your fast twitch muscle fibers versus your slow twitch muscle fibers? Because I can guarantee that anybody practicing at home isn't doing an all-out maximal exertion for 60 to 90 seconds. Therefore, it's not replicating stage competitions. They aren't going to be producing a tremendous amount of power and speed and sharpness because they're probably just slowing things down. And so it becomes about practicing your dance technique and your timing. Now, don't get me wrong, it's completely fine to practice your dance technique and timing. Ultimately, that's the first main skill you need as a dancer. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to do that, there must also be a time in your week where you're actually spending training the fast twitch muscle fibers also. Because here's the issue that you have. You spend 6 months training your dance technique and you're going in and you're working on your fitness. You're doing more and more classes, more and more home practice. You've really got those steps nailed down. You go on stage, 30 or 40 seconds in, you've peaked. You max out, you burn out, you come off stage. The last 20 or 30 seconds of your dance is slow and robotic. The first thing you're told when you step off that stage is that you're not fit. So you go away off the stage and then you start working on your fitness, which in your mind means more. So you start doing longer classes again, more home practice. But what is actually happening in that process is that every time you go home and practice for long periods of time, you're probably training your aerobic system because you're not going to max yourself out. And it's all going to be slow twitch based movements. Your timing's going to be really good and your dance steps are going to be really good. But like I just said at the very start of this episode, those that are winning competitions, everybody at the top can already dance and do the timing and do the steps perfectly. It's about the execution of the movements, the speed and the sharpness and the power. So you got to ask yourself as a dancer, when you've got that nailed down, where is your power work coming in? Where is it that you're working on these issues? Because if all your focus is on just repetitive dance training and you're doing the same thing over and over again, it's just robotic, which means there is no all-out maximal exertions. There is no lactic acid threshold. There is no teaching yourself to deal with that burning sensation when it comes. You're just simply practicing in the house. It's like a runner who's a sprinter, but he's jogs in training and then sprints in competition, right? It's still running. You're dancing. But one, you're dancing slow for long, and then on stage, you're dancing not for long, for very, very short, but maximal speed. So just because it's in the dancing category doesn't actually mean that it's specific to what you need on competition. Just because I might be a runner, am I a distance runner during the week, and then I'm a sprinter in competition. So you got to think about these things. So that's what you got to do with the muscle fibers. Now, to produce power, we need to activate the fast twitch muscle fibers, which generally people can do, but only for a limited period of time. One or two or three explosive jumps, possibly. They maybe get like the first 20, 10 seconds, and maybe be able to sprint 100 meters. But if you're sprinting 100 meters and I slowly move that line back, so you get to 80 meters and I move the line back, you get to 100 meters and I move it back again, at what point does your speed, your power drop off and everything just becomes slow and robotic? Because that's the idea that I'm trying to get at. It's like you going on stage and you're producing power for that first 20 seconds and I go, okay, you're going to dance for another 10 seconds, another 10 seconds. At some point, you're going to go, I can't sustain this high effort. And so you just slowly start going through the movements. And that's the point. You will not have to stop. Your body will just reduce because you're going to, as soon as your fast twitch muscle fibers have exhausted themselves, you're going to directly tap into your slow twitch muscle fibers, which cannot produce any power. And so you can still dance. You can still do what you're being asked of on stage. It's just not going to be very sharp and powerful, but you'll still get through the dance. Okay. So how do we then test it? Like I said, the best way to test this sort of stuff is just by standing on doing a vertical jump or by doing a depth jump or it's like a standing long jump or something like that. You can measure it. You can see how far you've got. Now, one of the big things we're going to do in the academy is we're going to produce results for this, okay? So we're going to produce sporting standards for Irish dancing. So in phase three, a lot of the dancers will be doing their own power testing. So they'll be doing a vertical jump and a standing long jump. And we'll see how much power they can produce just off of one effort. Then they'll only get 20 or 30 seconds rest. They're going to try and do it again. Then they'll only get 10 or 15 seconds rest. They'll try and do it again. And they can see their power drop off. Now, the aim there is then going to be to train your fast twitch muscle fibers to repeatedly produce power for longer before they fatigue and exhaust themselves, which means when we go back and test that, those efforts should be more sustainable. So what you get in the first jump should also get in the third jump, on the seventh jump, on the 10th jump. And it should spread across a period of around 60 to 90 seconds, which of course is exactly what is being asked of you on stage, okay? So that's different ways to test it. How do we actually train it then in between those tests? Again, we can refer back to the academy, but there's two ways. Producing power and maintaining power are two different things, okay? They're still anaerobic, they still use your fast twitch muscle fibers, they're still an all-out exertion, but one is for a short period and one is for a period of up to, you know, 2 minutes or so on. Anything past that, you're just not going to be able to produce power anyway because it's too long. So you got to train yourself how to produce power first of all, and then you got to train yourself to be able to maintain that power for longer. Okay, so there's kind of two stages of development there that you're really looking at in terms of making yourself more powerful. Now, it just depends on if you can do impact or whatever, but let's refer back to the hill sprints the other day that we spoke about. The good idea with hill sprints is that hill sprints will give you a resistance. So the idea behind a hill is that you have a resistance that you can pull back against. And so that resistance is going to fire up your fast twitch muscle fibers, okay? Now, if you're running in flat, the fast twitch muscle fibers aren't going to fire up just as well if you're more of a slower robotic dancer, because you'll find it hard initially to develop any real sharpness or speed because you're so used to doing things at a slow robotic pace. Now, for me to be able to get those fast twitch muscle fibers then to fire up, I need to add a little bit of an incline so that we can actually push against something. So hill sprints are a really, really good way to do this because like we said in the post, you can never ever reach top speed, but you'll always have maximal effort. So you're trying your hardest, but you'll never get the top speed up that hill. And so your fast twitch muscle fibers will be exhausted. Then we come back down and we can repeat the effort. One of the biggest issues people make with trying to develop their power is that they go again too early. So the idea is that once you fatigue your fast twitch fibers, like I said before, you're gonna go straight into the more slow twitch aerobic movements. So you must give yourself a good enough break until you can recover fully before you can actually produce that power again at the start of the run. The key is that every single run must be powerful and it must be sharp. You must have the quality, which is something dancers find hard to do because they're in a mindset of everything has to be quantity, right? More and more and more. Just always refer back to what I said at the start. It's an all-out maximal exertion for only 60 to 90 seconds. So you must give yourself sufficient time so you can continue to produce that power. So hill sprints would be one method. An incline treadmill, of course, is going to be another method for someone that doesn't have access to a hill or lives in a desert with no hills. And the other then method for just reducing impact is going to be standing on a spin bike, which again is something big that we use in the academy because it reduces impact throughout those times where you want to reduce injury risk or you're far away from competition, but you still want to train the fast twitch muscle fibers. So I can have a dancer stand upright on a spin bike. I can crank that resistance up and I can get them to drive down powerfully through their calves. So you're exposing the calves to a high amount of explosive effort, which is going to train those fast twitch muscle fibers in the calf just not to fatigue as quickly because you're pushing against a resistance. When you get off the spin bike, those fibers are going to then be stronger and they're not going to fatigue as much. They're going to be fatigue resistant going back into dance training. So I hope that helps you understand how we actually produce power and what it actually means. If you are a dancer who struggles with generating an awful lot of power, if let's say you're one of the aerobic dancers who is very pretty on stage, could dance for a long period of time, but just doesn't have any oomph, we need to kind of get onto that power training, okay? If you're a dancer who can't produce power, you just hit a wall after 30 or 40 or 50 seconds, coming into the last 20 or 30 seconds of your dance, you feel everything becoming sloppy and slow and fatiguing. You can produce power, you just can't maintain it. So you need to build up the endurance capacity of those fibers, which means you just need to get out there and repetitively produce power, rest, do it again, rest, do it again, rest, do it again, and build up that endurance capacity. And test yourself as well. Before, how high can you jump and how many attempts can you do that before it drops off? And then test yourself again at the end, and you will be able to see if you can produce par A, if you can sustain par B. And when we get the table for the academy dancers, if we get 500 or so dancers through, we'll be able to start showing you sports standards, data that is specific to your sport that will show us the average par production of a dancer for a vertical jump, the average par endurance production of a dancer, so how long they can hold that for. And then, of course, a whole host of other details that we can put out that will show you just general fitness aspects of across all different types of fitness that make up an Aries dancer. So guys, I hope that helps. Claire, I hope that answers your question. If anybody has any more specific questions, of course, please just let me know and make sure that you train really, really hard and get developing that par.